produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I want to look at John chapter 3 as we begin a new series, John chapter 3 as we begin this new series, and I am encouraged and looking forward to teaching on this. I'll only get a little bit of it off of the back today, but I'm looking forward to teaching this series for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I believe, and it's an exhaustive series of dealing with salvation. And I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to trust that you're saved if you are saved. Amen. And for many of us, we're unsure of our salvation, but you can't be unsure of your salvation. You've got to know. Look at somebody shout, you got to know what you know. Amen, amen. You got to know what you know. I want to look at John chapter 3, and I begin at verse 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 7 and then verse 16. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 7 and then verses 16. Beginning at chapter 3, John's gospel, and beginning at the very first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Amen. A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which basically means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, which basically interprets to mean truthfully, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4 reads, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truthfully, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the next few weeks, I want to delve into this series entitled Born Again. Shout born again. If you don't mind, look at somebody and just ask them, are you born again? Yeah, I mean, do you know for certain that you're born again? Are you sure that you're born again? That's what we want to deal with for the next few weeks, just being born again, knowing that we are born again. John chapter 3 on the onset starts off by allowing us to know that there was a man of the Pharisees, and you got to know that there were two groups, two sects in the Jewish custom, and they are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were more like the Republicans and the Democrats of our day. Neither one of them are any good. However, but if you look at it, we understand that there were Pharisees and Sadducees. These were religious groups, or religious sects is the word they would use. And Nicodemus, who name basically means a victor, Nike, Nico, which basically means victor, and Demas, which basically means the public or the people, he was a people's champion, is basically what Nicodemus is, a victor of the people. And the Bible says that this man by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and that says a lot right there, that he is somebody in charge. He's large. He's not just a fly-by-night. He's not, because many of us, we think, when you think of Christianity, church, and spirituality, we think it's a poor man's religion. And that's what many of us, we believe, that uneducated people are the only people that follow Christ. But notice Nicodemus, as all of the aristocrat that he is and all of the knowledge that he has, a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says in verse 2, he came to Jesus at night. Notice what he says. He calls him rabbi, which basically means teacher. In other words, I know, we've been talking about you, that you are a teacher. We know that you are a teacher. Who are the we that he's talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they've been talking about Jesus. They've been delving into Jesus's life. They've been trying to figure out, where did Jesus come from? His life literally is like lightning in a bottle that shows up, because now his public ministry has begun. The Bible allows us to know he's done his first miracle in John chapter 2 just a few days ago. Remember at that wedding in Cana of Galilee? Oh, you don't remember. Well, let me give it to you. In Cana of Galilee in John 2, his mom and the disciples are called to a wedding, and when he gets to the wedding, they run out of wine. And Jesus's mom says, listen, I need you to do something for me. They are out of wine. And Jesus says, what does this have to do with me? And Jesus's mother Mary says, well, I am the wedding planner and you're my son. I know what you are capable of doing. I need you to do what you do. And the Bible allows us to know that they say, do whatever he tells you to do. And they fill up, Jesus tells them to fill up these water pots with water. And as they fill up these water pots full of water, all of a sudden as they're pouring water out of the water pots, somehow the water has become wine. We don't know how Jesus does it. We just know that this is his first miracle to allow us to know that even though you're out of whatever you have, that God has enough of what you need to give you what you need at the time of your need. That's literally how his miracle, first miracle starts. And the Bible allows us to know in John chapter 3 that as Jesus shows up, they've been talking about him. I got a word for somebody right there, because you're trying to figure out why do they know your name? How do people know you? It's because they've been talking about you. I don't have to make it any. I don't have to make it deep. I don't have to have any notes to tell you. They've been talking about you. They've been whispering. That's the person that drives that such and such car. That's the person that wears that such and such bag. That's the person that stays in such and such address. That's the person that's able to add, count, multiply, and they don't need a calculator. They've been talking about you, and you need to know your reputation precedes you. Bible says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and says unto him, teacher, we know you are a teacher that come from God. In other words, we know you're different. You're different from all of the other teachers, because you come from God. No man can do these miracles. Notice that you do, verse 2, except God be with him. Let me be clear, because many of us, you think you do what you do because of the stuff that you take. You think you do what you do because, you know, you're stronger than everybody else. You think you do what you do because you're wiser than it. Let me let you in on the cat that's out of the bag this morning. The reason you're able to do what you do is because God is with you. And I got news for you. You make it look easy. Oh, yeah, you got three kids and you're able to make sure you got everybody together. You're able to juggle their schedules. You're able to take pictures on Facebook. You're able to make sure they look clean and neat. You're able to make sure you run up to the school at the right time, take the right towel that you need, sign the paper at the right time. You're the mom that is in line. You're the mom that takes all the kids' water. You're in time, on time at the right time. It's because God is with you. And you don't need to take it for granted that the reason why you ain't falling apart at the seams, the reason why you ain't round here smoking 12 cigarettes a day, is because God is with you. And whenever God is with you, you make what's hard look easy. Let me tell you, when you make what's hard look easy, everybody wants to do the same thing you do. It's easy to say that you're going to run a church, that you want to pastor a church, that you want to serve people, that you want to have a vision, that you want to run a business, that you want a successful family. It's easy to say all of that, but until you recognize that you have the power of God on your life, you're not going to be able to do any of it. You will come apart at the seams. You better understand that the reason how you are able to go into a job and work multiple jobs, and the reason why you are able to make all of your schedules, the reason a cold hadn't hit you and taken your system out, is because God is with you. And somebody needs to declare today that I thank God that God is with me. I thank God that God has been, and I ain't perfect. I ain't all of that. I don't dot all the I's and I sure don't cross all the T's, but I thank God that he's with me. Just need to look at somebody and tell them God is with me. So notice the Bible says in verse 2, and I'm trying to get to my notes, but y'all keep tugging on me. He says, now the only way you are able to do these miracles, I'm still in verse 2, that you do, is because God is with you. That's why you hadn't lost your mind. That's why you hadn't given up yet. That's why you haven't thrown in a towel. That's why you hadn't quit yet, is because you have God with you. And somebody needs to declare today that I can thank God that God is shown up with me. When I look over my life and turn and look around, I thank God that God is still with me. In sickness, God is still with you. He's given you a grace to still be able to do what you do even in your sickness. God is with you. You need to declare God is with you. So understand God is with you. And the Bible allows us to know in verse 2, he says that's the only way you're able to teach the way you teach. So then he gets to verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, truthfully, that's what the term verily means. He says, truthfully, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when you look at that scripture, many of us, we don't understand, but let me hang out there homiletically for a minute. He says, truthfully, I say unto you, he says, forget what you think, Nick. He says, I understand you know God is with me, but Jesus declares to him, except you know that you've been born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's go through this. First of all, I need you to understand Nicodemus is talking about spiritual authority because he wants power.
Remember how I started this. Nicodemus is in charge. He is a champion of the people, verse 1. That's what his name means, champion of the people. And he's dealing with spiritual authority. He is a Pharisee. Bible allows us to know in verse 1, he's a Pharisee. His name means he's a champion of the people. And then on top of that, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's talking about spiritual authority. Now, Jesus comes along and he's dealing with salvation. Okay, don't mean nothing to you either. Let me see if I can do it this way. You got to first of all understand sin is missing God's mark. It means we messed up. Look at somebody, tell them you messed up. Okay, now tell them we messed up. You see, that's what sin is, because many of us, we like to rename sin. You know, we rename sin, we rename fornication and we adultery, and we say they just, you know, we just hanging out. At the end of the day, it's still sin. When we say we lie, we just say, you know, well, you know it. I just did a little fib. You know, we even changed the word to another three-letter word from lie to fib, make us feel better. But at the end of the day, it's still sin. You see, sin is missing. Not my mark, is missing God's mark. Okay. Now that we got that cleared up, you got to understand the Jewish people believe that salvation came from obeying the 613 laws given to Moses in the Torah, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy. That's what they believe. They believe that if they dotted not just the Ten Commandments, that's what we're familiar with, but they believe if you held to the latter of the 613 laws of the Torah, they felt that was salvation. But notice Jesus comes along and says salvation. And here's my first point before I get into this. As I get into this, salvation means being saved from sin. I don't want to sugarcoat this, because you've got to realize salvation means I'm saved from sin. Okay, let me go a step further. Here's what Nicodemus does. Nicodemus, if you're taking notes, Nicodemus makes a conclusion. He makes a conclusion. And here's his conclusion in verse 2. He says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Okay, that's his conclusion. Look at somebody shout, that's Nick's conclusion. Let me draw this irony right here. All of us are part of God's creation. All of us are not his children. All of us are part of his creation. Everybody ain't God's child. To be part of the creation, all you had to do was be born. You see, a dog is part of the creation. A giraffe in his long neck is part of his creation. An alligator with his jaws is part of God's creation. Cat with his meow is part of his creation. But everybody ain't his children. Okay, let me draw you in a little further, because you got to understand, to be his child, you got to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me give you these, because I think it just fits right here. Here are the instruments of salvation. Let me give you these, and this is about as far as I get to go today. Because notice what Jesus says. Jesus says, I say unto you in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's get into this. Instruments of salvation. This is about as far as I'm going to get to go today. Here are the instruments of salvation. Number one, there is the basis of salvation is grace. So the basis of salvation is grace. Understand that the first thing you got to understand about the instruments of salvation, and there are four of them. The first one is the basis of salvation is grace. When you look at that, when you understand that the basis of salvation is grace, you understand that you don't do anything to be saved. Christ has already done everything for us to be saved. Okay, let's look at it. Romans chapter 3. Let me look at this scripture in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, it says, for all have sinned. Now, I know before we go any further, many of us, we like to think that scripture is not talking about us. The Bible says all. I don't care how good you done tried to live. I don't care how much you pray. All have sinned. Now notice what it says. For all have sinned. And then notice what you did. We all came short of the glory of God. In other words, God had a standard of where we ought to be. And many of us came short of it. So since we came short, we couldn't reach up and get God. God had to come down and reach us. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Now, if you're watching me online, don't go to sleep, because many of us need to understand salvation comes from Christ. Only thing you can do is accept. Okay. Look at verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Term justified is an interesting word. If you take this word apart, and I think I can get close up here, but notice being justified, it literally means, if you take this word, it means just as if. You see that? I never sin. As long as I got Jesus. So I'm justified freely by his grace. I don't have time to tell you all the three types of grace, but let me just do this. You got to understand, I'm justified, and he says, just as if I hadn't sinned, freely. In other words, when you, and these are words we are just playing with. If you look at the word freely, and if you drop the L-Y, you got to understand that justification is free. I'm just in the Word of God. He says being justified freely, but notice the free gift is by his grace. It ain't by me. It ain't by you. It's by his grace. If you take that word grace apart, it's an interesting word. That term grace, if you had the acronyms, it literally means God's redemption at Christ's expense. Being justified freely by his grace. That's God's redemption at Christ's expense. So it's by his grace through the redemption. Term redemption is an interesting word. You drop the shun off. Redeem literally means you've been bought back. What redeem literally means is that you were in the enemy's camp. Satan had you dead to right because of your sin. And notice what God through Christ does. He sends Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. Now, God has many sons, but he's got only one begotten son. So he says, notice, he says, through the redeeming work that is in Christ Jesus. So he sends Jesus Christ to die for all of our sins. He does not choose which sins. God says you're dying for all of them. I'm glad he did that, because many of y'all would be talking about folks' stuff and saying you going to hell because he didn't die for that. But the good news is he put all of it on the cross and died for them all. Y'all, when he died on that cross, he didn't stay there. They put him in a borrowed tomb and buried him in Joseph's new tomb. And 3 days later, he got up, having all power. So not only did he die for all our sins, he got up having all power. In other words, he says, I got all of your sins, but I also got all power to free you up. The redeeming work of Christ. Now, that's the first instrument. That's the first instrument. The number one, the first instrument, that's Romans 3, verse 23 and 24. That's first. The basis of salvation is grace. And notice the second instrument of salvation is faith. I think somebody shout, it's faith. Now, many of us, we can raise our hands, and I sometimes attest to this. I don't all the time feel like I'm saved. Sometimes I wake up and I don't feel saved. But by faith, I know I am saved. I mean, you don't feel saved all the time. I ain't gonna call your sin, but you know, you all of us do some stuff. You get on that phone and we do some stuff we ain't got no business doing, and you don't all the time feel saved. But you got to understand, it's by faith you are saved. Many of us, we love to say, well, if I die doing such and such, then I ain't going to be saved. No. He don't judge you based on the last act you did. Because that would mean salvation was predicated upon your works. Salvation is not predicated, and I'll show you this in number three, is not predicated on my works, but you got to understand salvation is predicated upon his work. His finished work on Calvary and the power of God raising Jesus from the grave. So we understand the instrument of salvation is faith. Now, put up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So notice, it's by grace. Look at somebody and shout, by grace. Now that's the first instrument, is grace. For by grace are you saved. You're saved. By grace. That's God's redemption at Christ's expense. Are you saved? But notice how you're saved. The only thing you got to do is keep the faith. He says, through faith. You see that? Now, that term faith is an interesting term. When you look at that word faith, if you break it down, here are the acronyms for faith, and you can write these down. Forsaking all, I trust him. Do it a little slower. Forsaking all, I trust him. So it's by grace am I saved. It's through not how I feel. It's through not how I work. It's through faith. Many of us, we think our salvation is based upon a preacher or who prays for us. No. It's by grace am I saved. It's through my faith. You ain't gonna all the time feel like you saved. Some days you're gonna wake up, you ain't gonna feel like praying. Some days you're gonna have a quick prayer. Lord, help. Other days, Lord, but that does not mean you're not saved. Some days you're gonna be blazing a trail for God. Everybody you come in contact with, you're going to be a light to their dark path. Some days you're going to be the dark cloud of everybody's vain existence. You've got to know it's by and through faith. So I cannot lose the fact that I'm saved by God. Many of us, we lose the mentality of our faith because of what we're feeling or experiencing. Listen, my experiences of life does not change my faith. Sickness in my body does not change the fact that God is still good. Circumstances and situations that I go through do not change the fact that God is still able. You got to know that it's through faith. Look at somebody shout, through faith. Okay, notice, it's through faith. And that not of yourselves. Get out of yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. You know, I'm going through. We all going through. You ain't the only one going through. Listen, you're not the only one going through. It's somebody sitting beside you that's got a Bible on their lap. They got a phone with the scriptures pulled up, and they are going through. But they understand they got to keep the faith. Baby, you got to keep the faith regardless of what you're going through. I don't care how much hell turns up the flames. You got to trust that God is able to come in and fireproof you in what you're going through. So notice, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. In other words, get out of yourself. Well, you know, I ain't saved no more because I ain't been to church in 3 weeks. Well, just come to church. Do better. Well, I ain't saved because I ain't gained no money. As a pastor, I would like to think you not. But because of the grace of God, you're still saved. I ain't saved because I didn't speak to folk. Yeah, sometimes I do question that. And I wonder myself, Lord, are they saved? But the word says you're still saved. Okay. Notice. He says that not of yourselves. Get out of yourself. It is the gift of God. You see that? God gave us salvation, which is grace, and it is a free gift. Look at somebody shout, it's a gift. 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 Somebody gives you a gift. It's just that. It's a gift. Now, you cannot like the gift. You cannot like how they present the gift. It does not change the fact it's a gift. And I give gifts. I don't give gifts with the intention of somebody giving me a gift back. I give gifts and I'm done with it. It is simply I don't keep records. Well, I gave this person a gift on their birthday. They didn't give me a gift on my birthday. It's a gift. Look at somebody shout, it's a gift. It's a gift. And since it's a gift, we have to understand it is a gift that God gives us. It does not mean that God gives us a gift and will take the gift from us because we're not doing with the gift what we want. Listen, you got to understand, when God gives you the gift of salvation and you accept salvation, it is freely given, and all you got to do is accept what God has given. So the basis of salvation is grace. The instrument of salvation is faith. Notice number three, the result of salvation is good works. Look at somebody shout, good works. It's good works. It's not bad works. It's good works. Notice the result of salvation. Shout, good works. In other words, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. If you're working to be saved, you're working for the wrong reason. And maybe that's why you're not dedicated and committed to the work that you're doing for the Lord, is because you're doing it to be saved. When you realize you are saved, and you thank God for the salvation God has given to you, man, listen, I'm going to work with joy, unspeakable joy. I'm going to be here whether I'm sick. I'm going to be here whether I feel like it or don't, because I understand I don't work because I'm trying to be saved. I work because I am saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. That next scripture gives us this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. That's the context. In other words, I'm not working to be saved. I'm working because I'm already saved. Oh, man. You see people coming in church to work and they miserable. Listen, they're working for the wrong reason, because when I know what God has done for me, Yeah, I had a bad week, but I'm coming in and I gotta praise the Lord. I ain't praising you, I'm praising God. And when people understand you're not working to praise a preacher, you're not working to praise a person, you're working to praise the Lord. Listen, you'll come in and ain't nobody gotta tell you to be here early because you're waiting to get in because God has saved your soul. So I don't work to be saved. I ain't working. I ain't trying to get to heaven. Heaven is already. I'm going there. I already know. Listen, in new heaven, the new earth, I already got a prepared place. I got my mansion, my house in my Father's house, of many mansions. And if it were, I already got my place reserved. I got my crowns. Listen, I already know. I got it good down here. But when I get up there, or over there, man, I got a prepared place. By God. So notice, I work because he saved me. In other words, when I do good for people, I ain't doing good to expect something in return. I'm doing it because I know how good the Lord has been to me. Listen, many of us, we got Christianity all wrong. We got that ourselves. It's all about me, all about mine, all about I. You got to move that out the way and trust God. I'm working to allow the light that God has given me to shine before men. So notice, number four, and this is where I need to close up, number four. Here's the fourth instrument of salvation, is the confidence of salvation, is that what God started, he's going to finish. Yeah. He which had begun it, he's going to go to my next scripture, Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now notice, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Notice that. He which hath, y'all missed it. You don't know when to shout. Okay. So look at this. Being confident, and that term confident means that I have everything trusting on God. I'm leaning and depending on him. So being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun, which means started, a good work in you. You see, when you're genuinely doing what you do, and you're doing it from your heart, which is connected to God, he's the one that began that good work. If you're doing it because you're trying to get attention, if you're doing it because you're trying to turn somebody's head, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But if you're doing it because you want God to be praised, listen, that's why you should do it. That he which had begun a good work in you will perform it. Look at somebody shout, he will. Keep that scripture up. Don't turn from it. He will. Look at somebody shout, he will. He will perform it. Now understand, he's going to perform. That term perform, it literally means to execute or finish. Notice, the work he began, God is going to execute it and finish it. The good work in you, he will execute it and finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me close it up this way. I'm gonna stop right here. I ain't gonna go to. I'm done. Let me see if I can close it up this way. You gotta understand that he began the work, and he's gonna finish the work. He began the work. He's gonna execute the work. He began the work, and then he's gonna. Okay. Last Sunday during church anniversary, we had a wonderful church celebration. Man, awesome time in the Lord. Man, I'm talking about awesome time. Fred does an awesome job of doing stuff. He's been on point. Let me tell you, Fred been doing his doggone thing for the last few months, and he's been on it. I pray that I don't praise him today, and then he go, you know how. But he's been on it. And I appreciate him. I applaud him for doing what he did. But Fred made a major mistake last week. Fred was bringing some food back from the store on last Sunday, and he had his flashes on. He said he thought he was the MPD. left his flashes running on his truck, and they flashed for a couple of hours. And at 3 o'clock, when he goes outside after everything is done, and he hits that thing to start it up, it does not budge. Fred said, "Man, my battery dead." And Tandra said, "I got some battery cables in my car. They buried under some stuff, but you can use them." And he said, "Okay, we'll try them." And so he goes, and Tandra drives around the back. She got her battery cables, and we stay out there, me, Mom, Fred. We sitting out there waiting on the car to start up. You know, she revving up, and you know how you're supposed to do, revving up the engine. And for about 10 minutes, he started his car back, nothing. And started truck, nothing happens. And then a few more minutes, I said, "Fred, man, listen, it's hot out here, man. I mean, he dripping with sweat. At least we in the air conditioner, but he outside, you know, dealing with it." And finally, he says, "You know what? I'm going to call my wife because I got some battery cables at the house. I'm just going to have her bring them up because I believe it's the battery cables." I said, "Well, whatever, man. You good?" And he said, "Yeah, because I had some other places I had to hit last week." So I left. And so Fred called me about 10 minutes later, his wife got here. He said, "Pastor, listen, it was the battery cables. They wasn't thick enough. The gauge on them wasn't thick enough." You know, Fred got to go all technical with you. He don't just tell you, "My car started, I'm good, I'm gone." He got to go all technical and tell you the battery cables, the gauge and all that. I ain't trying to hear that, but I listen because I'm driving down the street. I'm trying to listen to doctors and all of that. And so I'm listening in one ear, but I ain't. And so he says to me, he says, "The gauge on them was this and this, then the third." He says, "So as soon as I hit it, it started right on up." I said, "Man, that's cool. I'm glad." He said, "Pastor, I'm on my way home right now." I said, "Man, have a good weekend. Thank you for everything you did on this week. God bless you. I'll see you soon." And I thought about it. God arrested me after that. He said, "Hold on." He said, Don't you dare allow that conversation to go like that." He says, "You do understand that a whole lot of folk are dealing with the same thing." He said, "They got the wrong gauge of cables, trying to hook up to the wrong thing. The source they trying to hook up to, it ain't strong enough to keep them, and that's why they falling apart. That's why they coming apart at the seam. That's why they losing their mind." He said, "But can I give you some gospel from the gauges of a wire?" I said, "Talk to me, God. What are you trying to say?" He says, "You got to allow yourself to know that you got to hook yourself up to me, because I got the authority and the power to give you what you need." Is there anybody here that knows that God got power to give you what you need? I know you're falling apart. I know it's coming apart. But is there anybody here that knows that when I trust the Lord, is there anybody that knows that God will make a way? Why don't you just shout, "He will make a way out of no way"? Because God wants us all to trust in him, put all our faith in him, to bless his holy name. Is there anybody in here that know that I got to bless his name? I got to trust in the Lord. until I die. Is there anybody that's going to trust in them? I'm not going to trust in them part of the way. Oh, what a sin it is to go part of the way with God. I got to go all the way. 90 won't do. 95 will not do. 99 just won't do. 99 and a half, it will not do. Songwriter says, I got to make 100. Anybody gonna make 100 today? That I'm trusting the Lord. That I will be born again. I will let my light shine. Is there anybody here that know he died, but God raised him from the dead? Shout yeah!
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.